Well, good morning and welcome in Jesus' name. It is good to see each one of you here today. A special welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those who are worshiping via live stream. As we enter into our worship time, express what is in your heart to God, thanking and praising Him for His love and His mercy that He pours out on us. Tell God how much you care for Him. Just pour out your heart to Him this morning. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us all the time when our hearts are heavy and we're weighed down and we're burdened. And we just come before you and we turn everything over to you. Help us to express all of our love for you this morning. As we praise you, Lord, just free us to honor and worship you. Move your Holy Spirit among us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, the sun's still shining, even though we can't see it right now. So, sometimes it's like that in life that everything seems gloomed over and it's cloudy, but God is still, the sun is still shining, and sometimes it takes, you know, a day for the clouds to break or somebody to come and encourage us, but that God gives us strength to make it through to when we can see the sun shine again. So we're going to take the offering during this first song, and I invite you to stand and worship with us.
Raise up and choose. prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather here together and worship you. Thank you for the Sunday school teachers this morning who brought us the lesson, Lord, and the tithes and offerings that have been given this morning. Thank you for the worship leaders who are leading us in worship here. We just ask that these tithes and offerings would go forth into the community, Lord, of the Welsh Mountain Home and Friendship Community and the people that are residing there, Lord, that this money would be a blessing to them as they live out their years there, Lord. And we ask that you bring a blessing upon Pastor Tony this morning as he brings the message, Lord, that you would have him speak the words that you've laid upon his heart, Lord, that he would minister to us all here this morning. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
I'm calling.
I just thank you for that, that your grace is enough for us. The knowledge of that is not enough, and if that was just a fact. But the next thing, that you come after us, Lord, that your grace is enough, and you seek each one of us out, and pursue us, and find a way to make us your children, even when sometimes we just want to run the other way as fast as we can. Just pray that as you call us, whatever purpose you have in mind or you've given to our lives, that we could see your call, and that we could also know that when we're not enough, your grace is enough, and you're enough to make us what you want us to be. Just pray for the rest of this service and what you have for us to hear through Tony, that seeds that need planted or soil that needs water, Lord, that you would give us what we need to be fruitful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, it is time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Good. What did you do? You jumped out of a tree. Well, that happens. That's kids being kids. I'm glad you weren't hurt worse, and we'll pray for you later. Yeah, so we're going to talk about leadership this morning. How many of you have ever played Follow the Leader? Everybody back there is chuckling, so I guess they did that. Yeah, you pick a leader and you follow them wherever they go and you do whatever they do. Some people are very creative and other people just kind of walk in circles. So can you name some leaders? Can you name some leaders? Does this help? Who? George Washington? How about this one? Abraham Lincoln. How about this one?
Queen.
It is Queen Elizabeth. Yes, very good. Who else are leaders? Moses, he was a leader. Ben Franklin was a leader, yes. Jesus was a leader.
You.
Me? Yeah, I'm a leader. Policemen are leaders, firemen, doctors, teachers. We have leaders all around us. Our parents are leaders, right? Our parents lead and guide us. We have a governor in our state, and there's many other leaders all around us. So what makes a good leader? What makes a good leader? You don't know? Well, just look at the picture. What's the leader doing? And they're in the front, they're leading, and what else are they doing?
Thinking about falling off the cliff.
They're not really thinking about falling off the cliff. It's the hill just kind of stopped. It continues. But what are their hands doing? Right there, what are they doing? They're pulling each other up. A good leader helps lift up the ones underneath them. A good leader is able to give direction. They care about the people that they're leading, and they want the best for the people. They help meet their needs. They follow what God says. They correct you when you do something wrong, and they help train up the next generation of leaders. What is a bad leader? What's that guy doing? He's yelling at him. He's not really correcting him or giving him instruction. He's just yelling at him. He's like all slumped over and not doing well. Well, a bad leader, they kind of care about themselves and what they can gain in life. They don't do what God says, and they don't correct people in the right way when they do something that is wrong. So can you name, well, you did name at least one good leader in the Bible. Can you name some other ones? You said Jesus and you said Moses. Can you think of some other ones that are in the Bible?
Joshua.
God. Paul. Yeah, there's many people, David, Moses, Solomon, Jesus. There's many, many leaders that are good in the Bible. Can you name some bad leaders from the Bible? The devil, yes. Pharaoh, Caesar Augustus, Herod,
Satan,
yes. So how many people remember what Larry's children's message was about last week? Who was it about? Samuel. Who did Samuel run to when he thought someone was calling his name? Do you remember? You can just yell it out. Eli the priest. So Eli wasn't a very good leader. You know why? Because his sons were doing a bunch of bad things, and he might have said, hey guys, knock it off. But he didn't really go and correct them and stop them from doing what they shouldn't have been doing. So he wasn't a good leader. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, he increased the tax load on the people after his father died, and he wanted to just have everything for himself. So he was not a good leader. So can you learn to be a good leader? Yeah, you can learn to be a good leader, just like riding the bike or anything else. You can learn to be a good leader. Some people have God-given natural gifts where they're better leaders than others, but you can train and learn to be a good leader. Moses had Joshua underneath him, who he was training. Joshua followed and helped him do things. Moses, he did the things that Moses had done. He learned and he grew. Elijah had Elisha underneath him, and he grew and he learned. So Elisha and Joshua were being trained. They were learning how to be leaders. Just like I did under Pastor Larry. He trained me. I walked underneath him. I learned and I grew as a leader. But we all continue to learn and grow. And then there's many good examples in the Bible of good leaders, and there's many examples in the Bible of bad leaders. The one example that we should follow in the Bible is Jesus. He is the perfect leader. So I'd like to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack and head back to your seat. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these children. Pour a blessing on them. I pray that you will grow them and train them so that they can be leaders of the next generation. I just pray that you will watch over them and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack and head back to your seats. You can open that other box that's in there if you need to. Well, good morning again, and I'd like to thank everyone who took time to pray during our 24 hours of prayer. Just praying for God's leading and guidance as we go through this nomination process, preparing hearts for His calling. Thank you to Brian and Larry for bringing the first two qualification messages. Pastor Brian shared that God is our rock and that we need to stand on Him in times of change and that we need to lay down our desires to be a servant. Pastor Larry shared about two choices that we have, making excuses when God calls us to service, or do we step out in faith and answer God's call, laying down all the questions and doubts that we have before the Lord, answering Him like Isaiah did, "Here I am, send me." There were some questions that were brought to the leadership team. Here's hopefully some clarification. We were asked about a job description. Well, the discernment team, we determined that we were going to look at the person God calls and then fit them into the job description. So that's kind of flexible. We do have one with a list of stuff that the associate pastor role is supposed to be, but we're going to fit the person and their giftings into the area where they belong. We are going to be nominating men for this role. To go deeper than that would take a whole sermon in itself. We've been very blessed to have women serve on our church council and other areas, and they're very good in the roles that they are. But we are looking to call men for this role. And we are also looking to call within the church first. If need be, we would go outside, but our goal is to call within. And if you have any more questions, please feel free to ask me or Pastor Larry or Bishop Eric or any one of the pastoral team. We'd be very happy to answer your questions and get you more information if you need that. If you did not receive your ballots, please contact me or Debbie, and we'd be able to hopefully get you some very quickly. If you haven't received it, maybe wait a day or two and see if the mail is just running behind. So we're going to continue our qualification messages titled Shepherd or Sheepdog. I had a conversation here, I believe it was here at church. That's what I'm kind of remembering. I'm not sure who it was with. If it was with you, you could raise your hand and tell me that I had a conversation with someone and this topic just stuck in my mind. So this is the title for our message today. We are going to start by looking at sheep first. Here's an excerpt from rapidstartleadership.com. Have you ever led sheep? Well, Robert Moore tried. He thought it would be easy. He was wrong. In his book On Trails, Moore explores how trails come into being and what that tells us about ourselves. One of his observations was that a trail forms when a group of individuals united to reach a common end. To me, that sounds more like a definition of teamwork, just with the emphasis on the byproduct instead of the goal. It struck Moore that man had been watching animals make these pathways for millennia as shepherds watched their flocks. So he jumped at the opportunity to tend a flock of sheep belonging to an elderly Navajo couple in Black Mesa, Arizona. For 3 weeks, he would be able to study the path and the creation of these paths firsthand. Far from paved roads, electricity, or anything else, or anyone else who spoke English, Moore came face to face with the reality that sheep didn't really behave like sheep at all, unless you knew how to lead them. And as you might expect, he had to learn this the hard way. The first day did not go well. From the moment the first sheep stepped out of the pen, they were wandering without effective leadership. By 10 a.m., he managed to lose track of every single one of the animals under his care. He winces at his own sheepishness when he had to go tell the owners what he had done. It took the rest of the day to round up the sheep. Over the next weeks, he found that sheep were not at all what he had been led to believe they were. They could, by in turns, be headstrong, independent, distracted, energetic, lackadaisical, and self-absorbed, as well as blind followers. He validated that they were indeed ungovernable when they were hungry. And he learned, too, that the life of a shepherd was not one of solitude and serenity, but rather one of constant watchfulness, hard work, and moments of sheer panic. In summary, he found that sheep were indeed a lot like people, and leading them was a lot like, well, leading. And I can just picture he opened that gate and the sheep just spreading out everywhere without the shepherd that those sheep knew leading them. So we're going to look at the shepherd. The shepherd watches over the flock of sheep for the owner of those sheep. The shepherd's job is for the welfare of the sheep. His job is to present healthy sheep to the master. That really sounds like a pastor's job, doesn't it? Well, the shepherd's goal is to keep and get the sheep under his care to be healthy and stay healthy. To have healthy sheep, you must check their food source. Is the feed good? Is there a lot of weeds? Will they get sick? You must check the water source. Is it contaminated? Is it rushing too fast? Because they won't drink if it's rushing too fast. You have to find quiet places for the sheep to bed down. You must protect the sheep from insects that can infect them and kill them. You have to protect the sheep from predators and false shepherds who want to steal them from the master. You have to be aware of the dangers and hazards all around. And the shepherd also corrects and cares for the sheep. Well, the sheepdog is valuable to the shepherd, but the sheepdog's job is to move the sheep from one pasture to another. It's also protection from wild animals. They chase the sheep that are stubborn and try to wander off and bring them back to the flock. These jobs sound similar, don't they? But there's a difference there. It's the motivation. The sheepdog will bark and run around the sheep, driving them to where they're supposed to be going, to those new pastures. They get worked up and they move in fear. There is a level of security with the sheepdog because it is a protector, yet the sheep, they move out of fear. And we can see that a lot in our secular world. A lot of sheepdogs out there running around, barking out orders, driving people to where they want them, regardless of the cost to the people. When the shepherd moves the sheep, he calls out to them. They come to him, and he leads them to a new pasture. They follow him calmly. There's some videos on the internet that you can look up where people try to call the sheep and they don't move. When the shepherd calls them, the sheep come running to him. The sheep know that the shepherd is watching over them because he cares for them. The shepherd is building a relationship with the sheep while he is taking care of them. And you can see the heart difference between the two. One is doing a job, the sheepdog, and the other is truly caring for the sheep. In John 10, Jesus is telling us that he is the good shepherd, and the sheep in his pen are safe from thieves and robbers. We're going to read John 10, 2 to 5. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of the stranger. Like real sheep, we follow the voice of the shepherd. This means that as an under-shepherd of Christ, I need to be following him. so that I can lead you, the flock. And you need to be able to hear the Master's voice through me. See, this happens when I'm spending time in the Word, pressing into God, spending time in prayer, and then faithfully bringing the messages and leadership to you. Like a shepherd caring for his sheep, I care for you. There is a heart for people that God puts in you when you surrender yourself to his calling in your life. And we're going to look at Jesus for some examples of what a shepherd is, and then to the disciples as an example of a sheepdog. John 21, 15 to 17. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you. Feed my lambs." He told him, a second time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you." "Shepherd my sheep," he told him. He asked him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved that he had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus was showing his shepherd heart to Peter after his denial of him. He asked Peter if he loves him three times, and three times Peter says yes. Jesus is compassionately restoring Peter, calling him to be an under-shepherd of his sheep, to go and feed and take care of the church, and do that in the name of Jesus. We don't have enough time to look at all the things that Jesus did. He fed the 4,000. He fed the 5,000. He healed many people. Jesus showed compassion to the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, and many, many other things. Yet, in that compassion, there was a correction and a discipline that happened. He pointed people to the Father, and he told them to go and sin no more. He showed them the right path to go on. A shepherd gives correction and discipline to the sheep. He corrects and disciplines them when they stray, or he sees a bad habit in them that endangers them. Looking at a sheepdog, in Luke 9, you have an argument that breaks out among the disciples of who is the greatest. And this is where it starts to go downhill. You can see this self-centeredness just come up in them. In verses 49 to 50, John tried to stop people who were doing the work of God because they weren't following the disciples. And shortly after this is where we're going to pick the story up in verse 51 to 55 of Luke 9. When the days were coming to a close for him to be taken up, he determined to journey to Jerusalem. He sent managers ahead of him, and on the way they entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparation for him. But they did not welcome him because he determined to journey to Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" But he turned and he rebuked them. And they went to another village. James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven to consume an entire village of people because they were offended. James and John did not show compassion for these people. They took offense, and they wanted to have it their way. This self-centeredness showed up. This sheepdog attitude came out. They started barking. But Jesus turns to them and he rebukes them because of their heart issue, because he didn't care for all the lost souls in that village. There was a heart issue that had to change inside of James and John. And that's why Jesus rebuked them. See, this heart change happens when we ask God to work in us and on us daily. We have to surrender our heart to God's will, not to our own. And as I go through this process on the other side of the discernment team, I reflect on my experience of being called. God had been working on me and in me, changing my heart and drawing me closer to Him. And when I handed everything over, surrendered everything to Him, that's when things really started to happen. Our retired bishop, Carl, was giving a qualification message. And I was sitting over here, and it was like I was the only person in the room. He was speaking directly to me. We were having this one-on-one conversation. Every question that I had in my mind, he answered. Later, Carl would tell me that he saw this intent look that I had on my face and that I was paying attention, that he could see that something was going on. It was the Holy Spirit working. And when you read this list of qualifications that are listed in 1 Timothy 3, that was our homework given by Brian, and I hope that each one of you have read that. If not, please go and read 1 Timothy 3 before you fill out your nomination ballots. You might be thinking, how do I measure up to this standard? How do we measure up? Well, first of all, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all separated by God from sin until we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Larry had talked about Moses and the burning bush last week and God calling him. But what did Moses do that sent him into the wilderness? He murdered an Egyptian and buried him in the sand. What did Saul do before he had his Damascus Road experience and became Paul? He was persecuting the church. If we cut off the ties from our former way of life that we have been living before we had Christ and turn from it in repentance, then most of these things in chapter 3 will take place over time as we grow in our Christian walk. God is always working in us and on us. 1 Timothy 4, 7 to 16. But have nothing to do with pointless or silly myths. Rather, train yourselves in godliness, for the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior for all people, especially those who believe. Command and teach these things. Do not let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, until I come. Give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy and laying on of hands by the council of elders. Practice these things. Be committed to them so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. A shepherd is trained. It doesn't happen instantly. Like the guy I was talking about in the beginning, where the sheep scattered everywhere, he quickly learned what it meant to take care of sheep. It takes time to learn and grow and develop into a good shepherd. How you do ministry that God calls you to will look different than what God calls me to. We are all different and we have different gifts. Are you young? This does not disqualify you from consideration. Unless you're a new convert, someone who just came to faith. And that's so that pride does not build up in you. Is God calling you? Is God speaking to your heart? If you're married, what is your spouse feeling? There has to be communication between the two of you. We have to count the cost of what God is calling us to do. Do you have a shepherd's heart? A heart to take care of the master's sheep, to take care of people. I'd encourage you to keep praying for this process as we seek God's will, as we give nominations, and as the discernment team processes those nominations. Nomination ballots have been mailed out, and hopefully you have all received those. The nomination period is open. Prayerfully seek God's guidance as you fill out your ballot. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are coming before you asking for wisdom and guidance. Who should we nominate for this role in our church? Show us your will. To those who will be nominated, stir their hearts and their souls so that they follow your call, Lord. Make it clear and evident that you are calling them. Lord, we want to do your will in all that we do so that we honor you. Give wisdom to the discernment team that goes beyond human capabilities. Give them ears to hear your voice. And fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit to again do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
I'd invite you all to stand and sing this last song.
See if I can get over here. Good morning. I just wanted to bring your attention to the very last part of the bulletin. We're having the Holy Spirit Fellowship evening here tonight. If you've ever been curious of that, I wanted to just give briefly what we have been doing this past year. We've been going through these steps. The first part of it is just giving our burdens to God, just to release all that stuff, get rid of all that, ask God how we can fellowship with Him more, surrender what we want to do to Him, and then we just ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and have a time of prayer and see what He gives. Not what we're doing, but what the Holy Spirit can do through us. So I invite you to come out. That's tonight at 6:30. It's just a chance to get closer with God and just get to know the Holy Spirit in a much more personal way. So come out if you can.
Good morning. I don't have a speech this time, but just a couple of youth group announcements for the youth and the youth parents. On May the 17th, the Bible study has been changed to starting at 7 o'clock. That's 7 p.m. in the evening. If it goes well, we will look to change all Bible studies to 7 o'clock. But if there's complications with that, we'll keep it at the usual. But just make note that May 17th, Bible study starts at 7 o'clock. And that's for high school students, that Bible study. And then we're having a fellowship meal, so I'll pray that doors over there, go down there, and there's the tables line on each side, and the donations box is in the front, and that will be going toward our summer service project this summer in Maryland. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Pray you bless the food to our bodies and bless the hands that have prepared it, and help the funds to be used for your glory. Amen. You are dismissed that way, I think, right? No, stay seating.
Dismissed in a minute. So will you stand for the parting benediction? Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. God bless you. You're dismissed.